ever since singing. Amen. Amen. Okay, you have your Bible this morning? Let's turn it to the Word of God to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Look down at verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother. I like to see brothers working together. Amen. Casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Jesus told some fishermen to follow him. They're out there fishing. I tell you what, there's something about a fisherman. It's hard to get him away from fishing. Am I right, Brother Chavis? Somebody that likes to fish, you can't hardly get them away from it when they get a spare moment. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Savior who invites all men to follow him. I thank you and praise you. Love you. In Christ's name, amen. After Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, the Bible says he was driven into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That temptation lasted for 40 days. And it wasn't a demon that tempted Jesus. It was the old boy himself. Me and you don't have the devil himself, probably. We have probably some little old puny demon come by to mess us up. Amen. But Jesus Christ had the old boy, the devil himself, come to tempt him for 40 days. 40 days of it. After he had failed to make Jesus sin, by the way, this preacher don't believe Jesus could have sinned. Jesus was God, and God hates sin. And I've read where some preachers think he could have sinned. I don't believe no such mess. No, he just used the word on the devil. Amen. Jesus, after he had been tempted of the devil, he left Jordan and went over to the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum, which is up on the northwest corner of from Israel, looking up from Jerusalem. It's up on the northwest corner. And he goes up there and he sees these men fishing. And the Bible says that they were casting their net into the sea. And he said to these men that were so hard at work, he said, come follow me. Now, the first thing Jesus knew about those guys was that they were young. They were strong. And one other very important thing. They were busy. Jesus always calls busy people. Let that sink in. Not only did he tell them to follow him, but he says, I'm going to make you fishers of men instead. You're fishing for the fish in the sea. But I want you to fish for men. Much more important. The Bible says these men immediately left their nets. Get that now. Immediately. Now, Jesus had met Peter and Andrew earlier, so they knew who he was. But they immediately, at this invitation, left their net and began to follow him. And they would be the first of the disciples who would follow Jesus. And they followed him to their own death. From there, he went and saw two more men with their father. He was a fisherman, and he had his boys working for it. They had a business. And Jesus called them away from fishing to follow him. And these two young boys left their daddy with the fishing nets. Amen. And they began to follow Jesus. So Peter, Andrew, his brother with James, and his brother John, the Apostle John, as we know him, began a new career following a Jewish rabbi and learning about the kingdom of God. Later, Jesus saw a tax collector, a publican, not a republican, but a publican. He was a Jew taking up taxes from the Jews for the Romans. Therefore, he was hated. He was despised, but he was getting rich because he could get as many taxes as he wanted to ask for, and they had to pay. That's what the publicans did and why they were so hated. A Jew, kind of like a traitor to the Jewish people. The Bible says that Jesus passed from thence and saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, saith unto him, follow me. And here he is now with this very profitable business. He arose and followed him. We don't know exactly what was going on in Matthew's life, but apparently he was ready to give up that job and follow Jesus. And later on, Matthew gives us a list of all those who would follow Jesus. In Matthew chapter 10, if you want to look in your Bible, beginning at verse 2, he names all the disciples of the Lord. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, the man that owned the fishing business that his boys, James and John, left, and Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, Lebanus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So Matthew gives us a list of the first disciples and who would later be called apostles of the Lord. Now Jesus handpicked all these men. He handpicked them. He did not put out a sign asking who wanted to be a disciple. Neither did he get references from anyone to see who might be a potential good disciple. Because Jesus knew all men. He knew the hearts of all people. He even knew when he chose Judas Iscariot that he would betray him. But Judas would get to hear firsthand the message of the Messiah, who he would later reject. Well, the same thing happens in our churches today. People come in and hear sermons, and they go out and make no decision for the Lord, just like Judas Iscariot. He just couldn't accept Christ as the Messiah. He just couldn't do it. Yet he was a disciple. All of these men were busy and hardworking men. A disciple is a pupil. Listen to this. A disciple is a pupil or a learner who Jesus can use. Are you a disciple, a pupil, or a learner? Are you trying to learn? You can be a disciple if you're really studying your Bible trying to learn. Jesus cannot use the lazy, the indifferent, and the uncommitted. He needs people he can depend on. People that's willing to follow him. His work is too important because it's the most important work in the world. Do I need to say that again? His work is the most important work in the world. You're rescuing souls from hell. Followers of Jesus are called to take up their cross and follow him. That's not just for the preacher. The call is follow him. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man," he said, "will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." People have different crosses that they have to bear in order to follow the Lord. Everybody don't have the same cross. In Mark 8:34, when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself." What did the Bible say about Christians? Deny yourself. Sometimes you have to give up things you want in order to serve the Lord. He said, "Take up your cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." Jesus said to count the cost. When you were first being impressed about being saved, could you go back in your mind and remember the struggle you were going through? I can't get saved and go to church and have to bring my money, and I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And you struggle with that. Most people don't get saved the first time to hear the gospel. Jesus said unto them, "For which of you intended to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" You say you want to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you willing to pursue it? Follow him? Or do you want to just give up? It's not for me. Again, this seems to be for those he calls for special ministries like pastors, missionaries, or evangelists. Although all believers are called to live faithful, committed lives to the Lord, Jesus has many believers who have been saved, but not all are disciples of the Lord. A lot of people saved, but they're not really learning. They're not real disciples. Today, Jesus is not here. Back then, he walked by and called men. Today, he's not here, and he's not going to come by where you're at and invite you to follow him like he did back then. But he's still calling people to follow him in a life living by faith. Living by faith. And Jesus uses the Holy Spirit in conjunction with this book, the Word, to call people today. Call us away from our busy schedule, our busy lives, or the plans of our lives. When we hear the gospel, it calls us away to start following Him, start learning about Him, start serving Him. And we start off as babes in the Lord. We start off little, but we are to grow. How are you going to grow? Study. You have to study. You got to be faithful in church. You got to be learning to deny yourself. You got to start measuring on the Lord in your life, putting Him first. And God uses the Holy Spirit along with His Word when it's preached to repent of sin, believe on Christ, and then start growing in the Lord when you accept Him as your Savior. Now, some of you in here, you were saved maybe very young. I have led people to the Lord over 90 years old. I believe two of them was over 90. But that's a rare thing. Once you get past 20, it's hard to get anybody saved. It's just not, because the heart gets so hardened, so set. God uses His Word to call men to preach, and His Spirit also. I remember sitting in my senior class. A lot of the girls and boys was in there talking about what college they were going to go to, what they were going to do or be or whatever. And I was sitting there in my class. I don't know what I want to be, but I sure don't want to be no preacher. I'm serious. I'm telling you, this will really happen. I don't want to be no preacher. I didn't know Mama had asked the Lord to make me a preacher. I didn't know that. That was a kept secret till I was doomed. Amen. But anyway, I got out and started life, you know, working. And then problems came along. But I was in church every Sunday. I would go to many prayer meetings back in those days. But you know, I just, God put a hunger in my heart. I was perishing to death for this old Word. And they gave me a job in the church I was going to in Red Springs. I was the assembly director. I got up and led them in a song, and then I had a few minutes to take some whatever I chose from the Bible and discuss it with the assembly. Probably 50, maybe more people sometime there for assembly. Later others would come in. But every Sunday, I just couldn't hardly wait to get there and talk about God's Word. I was just perishing to death. Until finally I surrendered to God's call on my life. Our ministry started off unique. My pastor had started a radio ministry at Red Springs on a little station up there, 5 days a week. He was going to Virginia, so some of them in the church came and said, "Raymond, why don't you take over that? That'd be good training for you." So with a lot of arm twisting, I finally agreed to it. Went out to the station. The man said, "Fine, be fine with them." So I went around to the businesses that was paying the bill, and most of them agreed to keep paying the bill each month. And we got started with our radio ministry, and that song that I shared with you today, was some of the first music we used on that station. And time went by. 1980, I felt led to build this little church here. And so we announced we were going to build a church. I didn't have a dime. I was as broke as Job's turkey. But anyhow, somehow or another, money started coming in. We were meeting together in people's houses, taking up collections, and our treasurer kind of built it up. And before you knew it, we bought this land, almost three acres here, about $6,000, if I remember right. And so we started building this church on this clay hill. Got the walls of it up, and a man said he was listening on the radio, and he got saved listening to us on the radio, and he said, I'll pay for the top on it. You know, that was a big boost, big encouragement, getting our building put up. Oh, we had kerosene heaters out here. Did we have a wood heater out here one time? Yeah, we had a wood heater sitting right over there at that window, and it went out that window there. I mean, we were trying. We had services outside on the front yard, but we kept going on. But after we'd been on the radio 1 month, the guy that had equipment for us to use, he quit. He had bad health issues. So we had to get new ways to carry out the ministry. And my brother in Taiwan had equipment, and he let us use it. And we went to using his equipment to record our programs, sent them to the station. And the rest has been history. God kept making a way. Making a way. Why? God called me to preach. He went down to the bottom of the barrel and got the one in the furthest corner. Amen? And put me in the ministry. I know it. I don't have a doubt about it. And God, over these years, has helped us to maintain this ministry for 49 years. It went from 5 days a week to 6 days a week. It's 11 radio stations now, plus our TV. That little station down there, our TV station, is sending our program out four different ways through the internet, plus a 60-mile radius on antennas. I'm just amazed at how God takes a nobody and would just give us such a nice building as this building is. I sat out on the parking lot the other day and I said, Faye, I want you to look what a nice building God has put here. I just come out here to do what the Lord led me to do. And God has put it here. People have donated money. And we had a lot of volunteer help. We had one small loan on it to start with, very small. But we paid that off rather quickly. Other than that, we've always had money to pay our way. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing how God blesses you when you do what he says do. This is what the disciples did. The Lord said, follow me. I'm going to use you. I'm going to make you fishers of men. And you know, folks, I've seen lots of people come through these doors. Lots of people. And a lot of them left for different reasons. Some of them said, we want to go where they got more things going on. Well, if you need anything more than the Bible, there's something to matter. Some of them have died. Right, many of them have died. Died young. makes you wonder sometimes, why do they die young? God's calling people to follow him. Today, most of you are giving over and above the tithe. I don't look at nobody's giving. I don't know who gives what, but I know from the amount of money we're getting, somebody's giving more than a tithe. Somebody loves the Lord. Somebody wants to do the work of the Lord. You're following the Lord, folks. Remember the widow woman didn't have but, what was it? We'd call it 2 pennies. She just put them in. And the Lord recognized her. He didn't recognize the ones throwing in all the money. She just gave all. When we give all, folks, God blesses. God uses. I want to tell you something also. The Lord sent us Brother Chavis out here, and I have really been blessed. I have been blessed. All of y'all are a blessing to me. But Brother Chavis come out here a-crying. Literally. When I was so sick in my life, the lowest point I guess I've ever been, when I come to where I could recognize, guess whose face was staring me in the face? Mr. Chavis is over on my bed like this here. That picture's still in my mind. It wasn't long, Miss Kim come prancing in there with a T-shirt. Miss Kim, what would that T-shirt say? You're right. Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. I've never forgot that. Miss Kim, that was such a blessing to me. I was so sick. You know, all those sicknesses and in the hospitals that I've been in so many times, did you know we didn't miss a radio program being on air? Did you know that? That sounds impossible. But we always had tapes at the station. Always had tapes at the station. Right now at the house, I've got a stack ready to go. It's not due for several weeks to go, but they already been ready 2 weeks. But just in case, I might get down a little bit. Folks, I'm just trying to talk a little bit about follow Jesus. You won't go wrong following the Lord. In other words, these disciples, they just quit what they were doing and started doing what God said to do. Now, that don't mean you got to give up your jobs. That's not what we're talking about. Everybody knows you got to work. I know I worked and did this ministry. I went to college. I worked third shift. Did the ministry. Built this church. I don't know how we done all that. I reckon that's the reason I'm about dead. Amen. All these years I've been out here, I've never preached a sermon begging for money. Never. I preached on tithing a couple of times, maybe. Because I feel like the Bible teaches tithing. But I don't do like some preachers preach, hey, we didn't get enough this time, we've got to take up another collection. They do that in some churches. We don't do this out here. If I can't get enough the first time, that's it. Amen. If you don't love the Lord enough to give freely, what good is it dragging it out? I don't believe in that. I'm a little choir preacher. And I don't believe in selling donuts neither. And plate sales. That ain't the Bible. The Bible says, bring your gifts to the Lord. Bring your gifts to the Lord. I was at college in one of our classes. We came out. There are four of preachers that was there in that same class. And were talking there in the hall. One of them preachers, you know what he said? The reason I'm a preacher, because it's makes you look important, or something, words to that effect, and it's got good benefits. That's a sad way to be a preacher. I'm going to tell you something, that ain't even a preacher. That's a fake. Folks, you ought to be in the ministry because God put you there. Then you won't have all this false teaching that's going on today. I went to the barber shop yesterday to get a haircut. And the barber said, I can't understand the Bible. I like to hear it taught or preached, but I just can't understand it. He said, but here, I got a book here my mama gave me, and I really enjoy this book. It helps me a lot. And he went and got that book off of a shelf and brought it over and looked at me. Well, over the years, I've learned a few things. I looked down at the author of that book, the first thing, Kenneth Copeland. He's one of the biggest fakes on TV, folks. And yet that's his barber's favorite book to read, Kenneth Copeland. Folks, he's a millionaire, made it off the gospel. Driving big jet planes off of people, preaching a prosperity gospel. Folks, our country's full of this today. We've got away from the Word of God. And people are not following the right ministers. They're following people that makes them feel comfortable. Jesus is calling common people. He's calling uncommon people. He calls rich people. He calls poor people. He calls educated people. He calls uneducated people. You know why? God can use in different levels everybody, because everybody's not alike. And God needs a witness in all these different areas. God can and will use anyone that will follow him. Anyone. The gospel is whosoever will. He's not promised anyone it's going to be an easy life. I'm going to tell you something. All my life, I have had to work. All my life. I started out, Mama gave me her clothespin sack to pick cotton in when I was about probably 3 years old. And I've worked ever since. I worked every shift there is, and one time I worked all three shifts and went home and cropped backer all day. When I lay down, I slept 23 hours. Daddy said he went to look to see if I'd died. I've worked in my life. Since the Lord called me to preach, we ain't slowed up a bit. There's always something to do. There's always something to do. You need study time. It's time to record. Time to put stuff together. And for the Lord's sake, give me plenty of time to get equipment repaired. Amen? Because you always got a button to push. Amen? I have to even get Johnny over to hook up my TV for me now. I forget to plug it in. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. That was in our Sunday school lesson. But listen to this. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him, God says in his word. The just shall live by faith. We're to live by God's word. That's living by faith. What does the word say? Don't do this. Don't do that. Do this. Do that. That's what God says. do what he's, that's living by faith. Some people start out with a bang going to church. Boy, have I seen them come in here. They're going to take over, you know. It ain't long. They're gone. They fizzle out. Emotional hearers. How many people have come through those doors over the years? Black people, Indian people, Spanish people, Mexican people. I mean, white people. We've had all kind of people. And one lady came in here for a few years, and she got up one Sunday, and she had been gone a Sunday or two. She said, "Preacher, this is the best church. I just love this little church." 2 weeks later, she was gone. Gone. Now she's in the graveyard. She wasn't old. People start out with a bang. But a lot of them fizzle out. Don't fizzle out. Oh, I see your faces out here. Y'all been out here a long time, a lot of you. Keep trusting the Lord. Keep following the Lord. You won't ever regret it. It's those that fizzle out that's going to regret it. They're going to be sorry. The Bible talks about four different kind of hearers. Four different kind of hearers in his word. Jesus told of a farmer who went out and sowed some grain in Luke 8, beginning at verse 4. When much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. He said, a sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell on a rock. It was, as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Other seed fell on good ground, sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. See, Jesus told about four different places the seed fell. And this Scripture, the seed represents God's word. When God's word is preached, you got four different kind of responses to it. Some hear the word of God. And they go out. Take it or leave it. Some hear the word of God. Sounds good for a little while. But it just, well, not for me. Some hear the word of God. Well, comes along with the thorns come up. The cares of this life take over. They don't have time for church. Don't have time to read my Bible. I wonder, did it have time to pray? Then Jesus said, some fell on good ground. There's some people going to come out and hear the word of God. It's going to take root. It's going to bring forth fruit. It's going to transform their lives. They're going to be used by the Lord to do his work. It's always been that way, church. Let me tell y'all something as we close today. You listen to me very carefully. When we get to heaven and look around, there's going to be a lot of church people talking about, preacher? There's a lot of people in the churches. They're there, but they're not saved. Are you saved? Do you really know you're saved? Have you really been born again? Has your life really been changed? Are you following the Lord? And there may be, when you get to heaven, there may be somebody comes up to you and said, well, I am so surprised that you're here. Amen. Folks, Jesus said, take up your cross. Life's hard on all of us, on some more than others. But we're to take up a cross. Life is hard as a Christian. Nearly every sermon Billy Graham talks in, he'll always remark, being a Christian's hard. It's not easy to be a faithful Christian. You've got to learn to deny yourself. Got to protect your testimony. Because the devil wants to ruin it. Make you unusable. Y'all listening? Amen? We're to follow Jesus. Don't follow me, follow Jesus. I'm like you. I'm learning too. I'm just one of them uncommon ones, he called. Spend time in your Bible. Be faithful to the church. Support the work of the Lord. And one of these mornings, we're all going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And then the Lord's going to reveal what all your faithfulness accomplished that you were not even aware of. And like I pick at Mr. Chavis sometime, he's going to have a big wheelbar to haul all of his rewards around. Amen. It'd be that way with you too if you'd be faithful. Learn to love the Lord. Follow the Lord. Encourage one another. Encourage one another. It's so sad today. We cannot even today stand up and shake hands with one another. Ain't it sad? You know, we used to, in times of past, say, let's stand up and greet one another and we'd shake hands. You can't do that no more. Amen? The devil made that possible. But let's love one another. Pray for one another. Remember, top priority, follow Christ. Follow Christ. You'll be blessed. Loving God, thank you for this time you gave us today, this opportunity. Lord, we just wanted to talk about how our Lord invited people to follow him. People that follow him receive life eternal. People that do not follow him, what an eternal loss to their soul, and how pitiful when they thought they were so smart or wise to enjoy all their time for themselves and their wishes. Give us wisdom as the people of God to put things in priority. And the top priority is follow Jesus. And we'll never go wrong. Thank you for allowing me this time today. Thank you for everyone here today. You know the need of every heart, every life here today. Encourage the discouraged. Cheer up the heart of those that need comfort. And put your loving arms around us, Lord. help us to love our Savior more, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Today we invite you to our altar. You need to be saved today. Somebody will talk to you about being saved. You need to come talk to the Lord about some problem, situation, needs. We invite you to come to the altar. Talk with the Lord.